I like to hunt. Do you hunt kangaroos?
Yeah. Yeah. So we do harvest kangaroos, but it's a very regulated industry. We have to have tags to do it. So there's actually a kangaroo meat industry in Australia. So the export kangaroos, kangaroo meat. We don't eat it ourselves much out here. But emus, we're not allowed to touch emus at all. And emus, holy shit, there's some of them running around. So that's our coat of arms. That's our two national emblems. And that's because both the kangaroo and the emu cannot go backwards, cannot step backwards.
There is a podcast in Iowa, Funk for Profit, 'twas named by they. They stirred up a banker near, then quick came an auctioneer. Making profit was their first goal, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. These formats shook us to our core, with Funk for Fun you will not snore. Banker set all mics to on, and the mullet of podcasts was born. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. Before we knew, conversations grew, growing corn even said F you. So won't you join Tenor Dave, Corey and crew? Please like, share, review. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go.
Hey, listeners, thanks for listening to the Farm for Profit podcast. This is Tanner Winterhoff.
This is Corey Hillebo.
And this is David Whitaker.
We really appreciate the time that you spend listening to us. Hopefully, we continue to bring you value week in and week out. Don't forget to tell your friends, families, and neighbors about us. Hit that like, rate, review, and subscribe button wherever you listen. We greatly appreciate that. That's how we continue to grow, and our message continues to get spread, Corey.
Yeah, I'm excited. And you know what's coming up next is State Fair time. Get some of that State Fair food. The country's open back up, hopefully staying open.
Oh, jeez. I know. What the world, this Delta variant coming out.
Yeah.
And if you don't watch the news, you wouldn't even know about it, because I didn't know. I learned about it just like 2 days ago, and I asked my wife, what is that? But hey, for all of our listeners, just a reminder, we do Farm for Profit episode, and then we do a Farm for Fun episode. One's kind of a happy hour spinoff, so if you didn't like the first one, listen again to the next week, the next one.
Yep. Our goal here is to help your farm achieve higher levels of profitability, and one of those ways is by running a Gieringhof head. So thanks again to Gieringhof for your head of the class listener review. They continue to bring these to us. They are head of the class no matter the crop. Premium harvesting heads for all your harvesting needs. Our listener reviews is exactly what we need to fuel the energy each week on this podcast. So thank you to Grain Wagon 223. Love to listen to your Farm for Fun podcast. It's one of my favorite ones.
That's perfect. That's a good review. Nice, short, sweet, right to the point, and a 5-star.
That's right. 5 stars. So we begged you the last time you listened to us to go out to Apple Podcasts, if you do listen out there, and leave that review, because that goes a long ways. But every platform, we appreciate it. We thank you for letting us know that you're there. But don't forget to share your ideas for shows, too. That's kind of where our guest for today came from, was a suggestion from a listener.
And Tanner, if you remember, when we first started, we wanted to do what's working in ag and just talk with local guys that are out there and explain, just like coffee shop talk, what is working. So today, who do we have?
Okay, we got Kelly Garrett from Western Iowa. He's part of Extreme Ag. He is going. He's got a deal on YouTube called Chasing Francis. You know, he's going for Francis Child's world record.
Oh,
he needs to grow 443 bushels of corn per acre to break that record. So he's been chasing that, and so we got Kelly on here. He's got a lot of cool stuff to talk about, but today we're going to focus on the Estes Concaves thing. So Kelly, welcome.
Thank you. How are you, Corey?
We are doing good. It's a nice weather out. We've got a little bit of rain. Like, attitudes are good. The markets have been okay. You know, it's been a better year, I can say. So I know you're driving right now, right?
Yes, I'm coming through Iowa City on the way home.
So thank you for joining us on your trip. So be safe while you're driving with us. But we want to talk today about Estes Concaves. And I know I found them through you. So what a great person to come on for a testimonial. You guys was last year your first year with Estes Concaves?
Yes, it was.
So they hooked up with you through, I think, your group Extreme Ag, correct?
Yes, Brian Robertson is the owner of Estes Concaves, and they are a sponsor for Extreme Ag. Dan Lepkus had used them before because of Corn Warriors and was familiar with them, and they were new to the rest of us, and we're all pretty excited about it.
So with your farm then, Kelly, what all does your farm entail to where a product like this would be beneficial?
My dad and I get over about 7,000 acres, and we run three combines. They're all identical, John Deere 780s. Brian sent us one set of concaves, the XPR2s, you know, the second generation. And I got to be honest with you, I was pretty skeptical that they were going to make any difference or that I was going to need them because, you know, those are big combines that we need for the large hills that we farm in. But a lot of times we can't go fast enough that I would say that combine is full or at capacity probably.
Yep.
But then we got them, and the difference in the corn and the soybeans was a big deal. But the grain sample in the beans was better, was cleaner. And then in the corn, you know, with that derecho and the hail and things like that, that corn didn't want to thresh quite right. And, you know, we always try to look behind the combines in every square foot, see how many kernels there are. There might, in the OEM, there might be four kernels behind that combine. In the Estes, there was none. And we'll have them on all three combines this fall. I was shocked at the difference it made. You know, then like early in the season, combining wet corn, running it through the dryer, they're a lot gentler on the crop, and it's a lot easier to set the combine, and it just does a better job all the way around.
Yeah, it takes less horsepower, doesn't it, to thresh it as well?
Yes, I would say it takes less horsepower.
Yeah, that's what I remember talking to Brian about it. He's like, it basically bumps your combine up from, you know, if you're a 780 to a 790 or whatever, 770 sure. to 7, you know.
Well, that probably helps you out a lot over there, Kelly, in the hills. You probably noticed that. That might have been a very nice side-by-side comparison for you.
Yeah, you know, when we're going through just to be efficient to haul the grain out, the combines are usually following each other through the field. So it was easy to – we're doing side-by-sides all day, really, you know. And I would get out and walk across there, and it was not hard to pick out which combine had the Estes Concaves.
Interesting, because that's one of the things that they tout on their website is that they really work to help stop that rotor loss. You know, that to us on the Farm for Profit podcast is a very evident way to pay for a product. If you know that the savings is going to be there dollar for dollar over the life of owning these and maybe even better, it makes it seem like a pretty good investment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Brian talks about if you use his full system with the concaves and there's a grate that can go on the back, the productivity, you know, the John Deere talks about their X9 combine and the productivity of it. You put Brian's full system in and that 780 or that 790, the productiveness you get out of there will compete with an X9. You know, like the ground that Corey farms, he's going to be a lot more productive with these concaves.
So I'll be an X9.
There you go.
With the 9770.
Your 9770 turned X9. We'll get you a sticker.
Yep. Probably need a chip on it too.
Farmer ever said they had enough power.
That's right. So you said that you have experience running John Deere combines, but don't they have concaves for all colors of machines?
Oh yeah. Brian can set you up for all the colors. Just John Deere is what we happen to run.
And if I'm not mistaken, you can pretty much run that in any crop, can't you?
Yeah, we use them in our winter wheat. We use them soybeans, we use them corn, and they really work great.
So typically on an OEM, you'd probably be changing concaves out if you're going to a wheat or back to a corn or soybean, so you don't have to do that anymore.
No, it works with all crops.
Cool. So, yeah, and I do know, talking to Brian, if you want a set, you better get on the horn. I don't think you're going to get anything for this fall, but you better get on the list for next year because with all the shortages and all that and all the interest in it, you got to get on the list because they got a big one.
Yeah, he was pretty excited about the demand that they have for the product, and I think that's another telltale sign. Not only can you prove the profitability to offset the cost of a product, but when they're flying off the shelves, that has something else to say about it.
Yep.
Exactly. You know, we were at a field day with Brian here just a couple of weeks ago, and I think he sold 5 sets that day.
I think that's because just what we're doing here, Tanner, it's what's working in ag. People are talking about it. People are talking about what's working, and all of a sudden he's getting calls and he's getting done. But
we've had a local advertiser, Kimberly Ag.
And they sell Estes Concaves.
Yep, and they are putting on a field day over here on the 15th and 16th of September, Corey. You said you might try and run some trials with your machine maybe diving in with the existing concaves before you switch them out?
Yep. So we need concaves anyway, so it was a perfect time. So we are, I think Brian wanted me to run a trial on like some 34% moisture corn, basically once it hits black layer. And so once that happens, we're going to take the combine out with the old concaves and run it, and then throw the new ones in, and then go out and run a strip and compare.
Nice.
Kernel samples, see what's behind the combine, all that kind of stuff.
Good. Well, Kelly, thanks for sticking around for the What's Working in Ag segment. If somebody has questions about those concaves and don't want to go straight to Brian or EstesPerformanceConcaves.com, how could they get a hold of you?
You can find me on Facebook or Twitter.
All right.
And I'd be happy to help anybody out.
Kelly Garrett.
Kelly Garrett. Yep. Perfect. Well, thanks again for jumping on the phone. I hope you stay safe on your travels back home again. And I look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thank you, guys. It was my pleasure.
Thanks, Kelly.
See you later.
See ya. Bye.
Thanks, Kelly. That was a great testimonial for Estes Concaves. And thanks again for supporting the Farm for Profit podcast. And now we are going to go across the pond, Dave. We've only done this one other time.
And it was a good one.
That was a good episode. So I can only imagine how good this one's going to be. Corey, why don't we kick this one off?
Really excited for it. And sit down. Today on the Farm for Fun show, we are heading into the future. Ooh. 15 hours into the future, that is. To go meet our favorite farm talker from down under. He's the managing director for the Sprayer Barn. His content on TikTok and Ag Twitter is refreshing and educational. From Moree, South Wales, Australia, Mr. Andrew Uphill, a.k.a. Uppy.
All right.
Welcome to the show, man. What's going on?
Hey, fellas, how you going? Good morning.
Yeah. Good evening. Good morning. So, I mean, just before we even get this kicked off, like, Uppy is going on like 1 hour of sleep. It's like 7 a.m. there, and I texted him. I was like noon, or what time was that? Or is this morning? And he's like, hey, it's midnight here, and I'm just going out to fix a sprayer. I'm like, uh-oh.
Who sprays at midnight?
Yeah. So anyway, he's serviced all hours of the day. So Uppy, how are you? Give us a little background about yourself.
I'm bloody good, apart from the fact that it's 7:20 in the morning, Friday, Thursday morning. I'm out here in Australia. I think most people would know that who have come across me on social media. So, yeah, we're in a farming area in northwest New South Wales called the Guider Valley, where we are. And, it's just a big broadacre and large broadacre and irrigation valley. So I'm in the ag industry, in retail side of it and farming side of it. Grew up on a family farm with mum and dad and sisters in central west New South Wales. So, ag, been in ag my whole life.
So you just said a lot of things that don't sound like the way we talk here.
Yeah. So we get a lot of that. Actually, yesterday I was running through the differences, our different terminologies and like what we call like stubby holders and coolies and things like that. Like, it's pretty cool to go through and all the differences. But when I was just talking about the Guadalajara Valley.
Yeah. So what is that? You said Guadalajara Valley, or what did you say?
So the Guadalajara Valley is, so we all have what we call our valleys. So the Guadalajara Valley is, we have the Guadalajara River flows through the middle of our town. And so that's where the valleys get their names from. So the Guadalajara River is the one that we use for our irrigation water. Then you've got the Nemoy, which is just south of us, and the McIntyre Valley, which is north of us. So the river systems is where we get the name of our valleys from, where we live and farm.
Sound like the Des Moines River.
Right. So are most of the farms in Australia in a valley then?
Well, we're actually in a valley. That's the funny thing. We call it a valley, but where the we're flat. Like, handbrakes in vehicles are optional here. We got some mountains to the east of us, but then once we go west, we got nothing. You can't even see a mountain. We're actually in one of the flattest farming areas in the world. If you ever look at a topographic map of where we are, it just goes like flat and that's it. So we're not actually a valley. We're just a, it's called a valley, but we're just a big, flat, open, broad farming area.
One of the craziest things that I enjoy watching on your TikToks is the amount of diversity in agriculture that you guys have over there. You know, here in the, we have diversity in the United States. It depends on where you're at, but where we're at in the Midwest is mainly corn and soybeans. Might get some alfalfa, maybe some winter wheat, something like that. You know, if you get a little bit on the edges, but I mean, you guys have crops all year round, don't you?
Yeah. So, and that's one of the things that a lot of people ask me and we talk about a lot. So we do. So, and we're different seasons, obviously being Northern and Southern Hemisphere. So we have what we call our winter crop, which is wheat, chickpeas, canola, barley, faba beans. So they're planted, oats. So they're planted sort of from end of March through to May. And we grow those over winter. So we're in winter right now. So we grow those over winter. And then we have what's called our summer crop. So a summer crop is cotton, sorghum, corn, or we call it maize, the three predominant summer crops. So they're planted through September through to December. And then you could also, and then while they're being planted and growing, we'll start taking off our winter crops, so our cereals, so our wheat, barley, chickpeas, we'll start taking those off in October. So it's not uncommon to be harvesting a crop and planting a crop at the same time. So we'll have a combine or a header and a planter in the same paddock sometimes working.
Huh. So not only does the toilet water spin backwards,
spin the other way.
But your seasons are backwards because we're in summer.
Yeah.
Man, I'm trying to think for like someone that really loves to farm, loves like the operational standpoints of it, you know, running the equipment and that kind of stuff. Like, what a better, is there a better place to farm?
Just, you get to do it all year round.
Yeah. Instead of having the down seasons of like wintertime here, it's like cold and snowy and drinking beer and you're wondering when things are going to thaw out.
What about livestock? So I assume it's just commercial kangaroos?
Yeah, that's it. So, we just put up the fences and round up the kangaroos, and we need a couple of extra bucks for a carton of beer. So livestock, where it's a big cattle area, there's not many sheep left in the area where we are. So it's predominantly cattle now. But then you'll go into the western districts, and they're predominantly sheep or goats out there. Like mum and dad and my sisters, they still running sheep and cattle mixed farming operation down south. Out here at the farm, the boys are running just purely cattle and cropping. So the sheep left that place years ago. But yeah, so there's still a lot of livestock around here, a couple of big feedlots in the area. And I mean big feedlots, which is really good for getting rid of the sorghum. A lot of our summer crop goes directly off farm to a feedlot.
So when I was in auction contests internationally with some auctioneers from Australia, tell me if this is true, or did it in Canada when I was there, but what they would do is in the States, we say what we're asking for. So I'm at $100 asking 101. And in Australia, they just said, I'm 100, 100, 100, 100, 100. And then when you bid, they just advance you to the next bid. You just didn't know what it was.
Yep, that's exactly right. So when we're doing our auctions, like what we call the sale yards, and I've heard a lot of different terms. So our sale yards, I think your sale barns and things like that. So yeah, you'll start off with and probably through the sale yards a bit different because we're talking dollars per kilo per beast, as where if you go to a machinery auction or a land auction or something like that, you'll ask for a starting price. So if you go to the, selling a beast through the sale yards. And so who's got $1.20, $1.20, $1.20? And then someone, yes. So, and then you're $1.30, $1.30, $1.40, $1.40. So that's only after someone puts a bid in is how we do it.
Interesting. And they have this stick or wand of some sort, the guys in the open cattle yards, and you can say sold as many times as you want, but until they smack this deal down, I don't know what it was called, but it was a leather something they smacked down, then it's sold. That's when it's sold.
Only after then.
So it's like kind of like the gavel.
Yep.
That's it, a gavel. Yep. So actually a mate of mine, a real good mate of mine, one of the best mates, he actually went to Calgary. He won the Australian Young Auctioneers.
Yep.
I think it was 3 years running or 2 years running. So really good. And it's a bit like yourself. You've got to have that flair and really get people in. There's people can do auctions, but someone who like doing a charity auction, someone who can read a room and know who they can pick out and have fun with and things like that. Yeah, so he actually went to Calgary representing Australia.
That's where I met him. Nice. That's where I met people. That's a cool contest.
Is he on TikTok?
Maybe.
No, he's not.
Dang it. Better tell him to.
Yeah, he needs to be on it. So, Uppy, in your operation, what is your role? Maybe I missed it, but in your farming operation, Corey kind of announced that you're the head of Sprayer Barn. But what else? What's your day-to-day look like?
So the business I sit in day-to-day is this Sprayer Barn or Air Barn. So we're a retail business. We sell spray rigs. We fix spray rigs. We sell spray parts, deep rippers, spreaders, things like that. So we're like a machinery dealer. So I'm not 100% in the farming operation anymore. I stepped out of that a few years ago to concentrate 100% on retail. But I still do. So during harvest or busy spray season or at planting time, I'll still go and get on a tractor, or if the boys need a hand moving cattle or something, I'll give them a hand. So yeah, but at harvest time, you'll find me on a header or combine, driving a combine for someone. And because it's normally, once the machines pick up here, we get it quiet. So it gives me a chance to get back onto the farming side of things. But yeah, but I'm still as a day-to-day operation. I sit in the retail business, but I'm still involved with the farming when I'm needed or if I've got a bit of spare time.
That's a good point. I didn't even really think about that. It's probably not a bad market to own a sprayer business in, because here you only spray during a small window of time.
Yep.
You're having the ability to spray all year round.
Yeah, we do. And that's the thing that, and like I was saying, who sprays at nighttime? We try not to spray at nighttime. It's not good for our efficiency and our drift, but because of our weather, sometimes you do have to spray at nighttime. So, but we'll have spray rigs running here all year round. Like if we get good weather, we've just had a heap of rain, a lot of rain. A lot of farms haven't turned a wheel on machinery for 4 or 5 weeks. It's just been too wet. So we're just getting the spray rigs going again now. So the planes have been doing it all. But yeah, there's a tractor or a sprayer or something running all year round. Every week, every day, there's something happening here.
So I want to get into that rain here in just a minute.
The organic farms is what sprays at night.
Oh, that's true. Right.
The organic.
So you do listen to the Prophet episode. Oh, you were on that one. That's right. So pause here before we get into all this rain that you're getting. Thank you to Doll Distributing for bringing us a beer again. So we've got Back Pocket Brewing this week. We've talked about those beers. So just wanted to quick get a little announcement in here. Enjoy Back Pocket. Thank you, Doll, for supporting the podcast. But we can move right into this. So I saw your TikToks about an immense amount of flooding. Is that normal?
We get that sort of every 10 years. So the last time we had that, so that was back in March 2020, we had the flooding there at home. That was a medium-sized flood. So in 2012, we had a record flood, which was like I'm 6'6", and it was up to my waist, like just over my belt. So that went through the backyard and through town. So about every sort of 8 to 10 years, we'll get a good flood, which is not bad, because we've just come off the so last season was the best season on record. We had an absolute cracker of a crop. The 3 years previous to that, we were in the worst drought in history that we've never seen before. So to break a good drought, you need a good flood to break a good drought. So yeah, but it's like this morning, I came over the river back in the town this morning. We had 16 mils of rain here. You can convert that and Tony's 7/10 or 100, whatever that's about. So I came out of the river this morning, coming back in the town, and like it's a banker, it's out of the banks, it's flowing. So we could actually get flood. Everything's that wet at the moment. It doesn't take much for us to get another flood. So if we get a big monsoonal event come through, which is unlikely in winter, we'll flood again. So, so I think everyone saw the TikToks and probably on the news and everything else. We made the world news. So yeah, about every 10 years, we'll get a decent flood through town.
Yeah, that was a 2 or 3 weeks. You guys were going around washing people's patios and decks off and everything from the mud that was up. You were missing some power washers for a while. Did you ever find those?
So we got our power washers back. There's one pump So we just leave out, for about 10, 11 days after the water went down, we're just washing people's houses out and things like that. And we lent out a heap of pumps and things and hoses to say, yeah, we're one pump short after everything, but that's all right. It'll come back one day.
Yeah. Yeah, someone needed it more than you probably.
But
did you hear? You hear? He said it's called a banker when that comes out.
I did.
I think of a banker. I don't think of a banker. Yeah. Okay, that was pretty cool. But
so the other side of the flooding is you sent out a TikTok about a plane, a firefighting plane, or someone going out to fight fires. So you're also battling fires over there.
I think they were coming over here.
Oh, they're coming here.
No, we're not. No. So we sent. So what we call 210, which is the New South Wales. So we're the only state government in Australia who own their own aerial firefighting fleet. And because you're having a hell of a fire season over there, and there's not enough lats, so large air tankers, and because ours are sitting here and we're in winter and flooded or wet, it's doing nothing. So 210, which is a 737 fire bomber, is now in Montana fighting as we speak. I had a look there before I jumped on, and yeah, she's did a couple of loads this morning or this afternoon in Montana.
Wow. Well, thank you for sending it over.
How does that get set up? Is that like between governments? Did they set that up, or is that just purely a pro bono thing?
So yeah, so that's obviously the, and I'm not sure how it works on your side with the fire stuff. I do a little bit, but so over here, our fires are run state to state. So it's a state government who are responsible for the fires in the area. Now, we do have a federal fire committee. But so the plane that we have, that the New South Wales government have, it's actually called the Marie Bashir. So that there's a company in Canada called Coulson Aviation. And so that's who I actually work with. So Coulson's fly that plane. So they staff that plane for the New South Wales government. So that plane's actually got US Rego on it, and it used to be called 138. So that's the number that's on the tail. So every plane's got the fire bombers have the number on the tail. So it used to be called 138. We brought it, and it's now been changed to 210 for Australian fire numbers. So it's actually flown out here most of the time by Americans and Canadians anyway. So it's just... I'm not sure. Someone just rang up and said, we need a plane, and it's sitting here doing nothing. So anyway, the boys jumped in it, and away they went.
Need to send Emily Daniel over there in her little single, what they call that, a seat. A single seat. Engine air tanker. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and the seats. Yeah, that was, I listened to that. That was a crack of a podcast.
Yeah.
So the seat. So that's, I'm going to do a TikTok on that because after I did the TikTok on sending 210 across. A lot of people have tagged me in videos and asking questions and whatever else. So that's a really, really interesting business. The aerial firefighting business worldwide now it's turned into a real business.
Yep.
That's okay. So cracker of a something. So the terminology cracker of a, so I saw that one of your TikToks, you said it's a cracker of a sky. Does that mean it's a beautiful, it's a good, When you use that terminology, what does that translate to?
It can mean anything. In that terminology, like if it's a cracker of a sky, it's a beautiful sky. It's a cracker of a sunset. Have a look at the sunset. It's a beautiful sunset. Have a cracker of a day is have a great day. It's just, yeah, that's the sort of, I know Chuck said the same thing. He had to Google to see what it meant. But,
I like it. I think it's uplifting.
I would love to start. I'm going to start putting it into my, not Rolodex. What's the terminology? My thesaurus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got to put it in there. It's kind of, how you going? That's how you greet people, correct? How you going?
Hey, gal, mate. G'day. I think everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. G'day, mate.
What's good on you?
Good on you. Good on you is probably a bit of a, having a go at someone, or if someone's done something, you're like, good on ya, is a bit like, yeah.
Would you be poking fun or jabbing at somebody?
Yeah. All right. Poking fun at someone. Okay. Yeah.
That's cool.
I got a whole bunch of those. We'll have to sprinkle those in throughout this show about how you say things and how we say things. And ultimately, you always get to the same end.
Same end. So how'd you get on TikTok?
Believe it or not, through COVID. I think like everybody did. Just talking about that, then I just see Dave having a drink. You're into the gas station. I'd run next door to the servo.
Ah.
So that's our gas station, yep. The servo. So how I got on TikTok was COVID. So when COVID outbreak here in Australia, I think like everybody just got locked down. They shit themselves and just went bang, everyone stay home. So my nieces go to boarding school and my nephews go to boarding school in Sydney, which is 8 hours away, and they couldn't go back to school. The schools were closed. Now, at the farm, there's no internet or not enough internet to do school. So everyone went online to Zoom schooling. So they come in here in the office. I've got unlimited high-speed internet. So the girls came in here, Ali and Charlotte, and Charlotte was on TikTok. And she's like, come on, Uncle, let's do this TikTok. And I'm like, what the bloody hell is this TikTok thing? Never heard of it. And anyway, so, yeah, did a dance with her, just a bit of fun. And then I was sitting there scrolling through her TikTok. And anyway, she downloaded it on my phone, and away it went from there.
Awesome.
We need to find that dance. Oh, that's good. So,
then was TikTok your connection to the Travis Burkhart Foundation?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Like the whole TikTok thing, I really had no idea what it was about, how it worked, anything like that. And yeah, just sort of did a couple of little videos and things and saw these people, and I sort of like Tony, see Tony come through, Chuck, and then some like yourselves, you start to see this sort of thing. And I suppose the algorithm really stuck me into that Farm Talk group. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's Mike. And I actually sat down, and I can't think what I was doing, but I had nothing on one day. And I actually sat down and flicked through that whole Travis series and the whole story behind it, and gave Mike a follow. I thought, I'll hang around on this one, and yeah, and then obviously that's how we got to the fundraiser, and yeah. So
I had a lot of people that asked during that when we were doing that fundraiser, hey, what's the deal with this Burkhart Foundation, Travis Burkhart, and Emma. I said, I can tell you, but you just need to go to Mike Burkhart's page and just go to the beginning and just start mm-hmm. watching it. Just watch everyone and you'll know exactly what it's about, because it's not, you can't put it into words.
Right.
You know, it's so, yeah, it's a great thing. So you were on the sprayer barn, but then you said, what'd you say, air barn or something?
Yeah, so that's the aerial part. So that's the aerial firefighting part. So, so we supply and we service. So we work for the state governments and supply them. We're actually just doing a big job at the moment in the workshop, building some stuff for a new lap base in Queensland. So yeah, so that's the aerial part of the business.
Oh, I saw your little, was that the hose trolleys?
Yeah, so the hose trolleys and the manifolds. Yep, that's what we're doing.
Okay. I saw that with the little porta power bend in the hose holders. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had to do something. Yeah, like I said, they're a 10-week wait to get where we're actually snowed under here with manufacturing and things like that in town. So normally I would outsource those because it's just a lot of time goes into them, but yeah, 10-week wait to get them. And so I just had to make that up to get us through. But we're struggling in a labor shortage out here in Australia at the moment. We're just really struggling. And like machinery, obviously we don't build spray rigs and tractors and combines out here, so we're relying on you blokes. And we just can't get them. We're being told now that you want a new tractor, you go and order a new JD. You're not expecting to see it until May next year.
Well, just to make you feel better, it sounds like that's the same thing that we're hearing on our end.
Yeah,
it's not just because they're made here and we're going to get first access to them. It's tough. We're also kind of in a labor shortage as far as that grand scheme of things. But I did notice that. So do you do a lot of fabricating? Is that something that you like, or is it just by necessity?
Yeah, no, I do. So I do a lot of fabricating here in the office. Yeah, do a lot of fabricating. It's actually a welder. That's my trade. So we just make stuff. It's pretty cool. I don't mind it. I don't think I'd be able to do it all day, every day like I used to, but I enjoy it.
Because they looked pretty clean. When I, yeah, you know, I'm by no means a pro at all, but it looked really good.
Yeah. What's the family dynamic? So you got your brother or multiple brothers back at the farm running that? How's that look?
So brother-in-laws on the farm up here in the north. So it's Louise's family farm. So I used to work for the boys full time and run the irrigation for them. And then down where my family are, which is like 6 hours from south of here. So yeah, mum and dad and my sister's on there. She actually has a really nice line of Santa Gertrudis cattle that she breeds. And then my other sister is married to a farmer about an hour west of where mum and dad are. So they're on the farm down there. And then, it's up here, James and Stu run the farm. And obviously the kids are coming through now, the nieces and nephews. So that's the setup of the farm up here. And I'm purely in the retail side of it.
And you are not married? Is that correct?
Yeah, not Louise. Yep. Yep, so that's Louise's, that's Louise's family, the farm up here.
Hard to have in-laws without being married.
Oh.
I just had to throw that in there.
That's true.
Please excuse my friend. He's a little slow. Australia is that way.
Well, sorry.
Oh, that fit perfectly. That was good. Good move, Dave.
Let's go to the shrimp on the barbie.
That's funny. That's a perfect time. Perfect time to insert in another shout out to Doll Distributing for supplying us with beverages to hang out, drink, and talk with someone from across the pond.
So, what's the craziest TikTok you've seen that from the States? Is there something that stands out?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to think about that one. A lot of them. But I shake my head and it's interesting. What the hell is going on here?
That's the one I was thinking about you when you rode your dirt bike in to the point to where you couldn't get the wheels to spin anymore. I'm sitting there going, just give up.
Yeah, so that was like only a couple of weeks ago. I just jumped on one of my dirt bikes and was going to go and have a look at the crop. And I was actually going to do some videos and updates because we get, like we're talking earlier on, our seasons are so different and we grow a lot of different varieties and a lot of different crops. I was going to do some videos to answer some questions. And, it was that wet. I turned around and literally I choked up the wheels of the bike. I was absolutely busted. I was nutted. Struggled. I dragged the bike and it wasn't a fun Sunday ride like I was hoping for.
Well, that happens here too. Go out for a joy ride in a brand new side-by-side and it doesn't turn out to be exactly what you want it to be.
Yeah, and you end up on the roof.
So have you had the opportunity to travel the world then?
I've been pretty lucky. I have, yeah. Wouldn't say the world, but yeah. So apart from being supposed to be in the States last week, in 2019, I was in Canada and Arizona. So I also do a lot in ag tech, and I'm pushing down and working with a couple of autonomous companies. So because I think autonomy is going to be a big way to go. So I actually went to Canada to, I'm not sure if you've heard of a company called Dot. So I went over. That's when Dot, before Raven brought Dot, when it was still Seedmaster. I actually went to Canada to catch up with Seedmaster to look at importing Seedmaster planters into Australia and have a look at Dot. So I went right through how it's built, met the team, and then I flew down to Arizona to the University of Arizona where they were running the summer trials and summer demos. And so I did some work there. So that was 2019. 2011, I did a world tour in 2011. The company I used to work for was a spray company. We went to a field day, what you call your farm shows. We call them field days. Mm-hmm. So we went to a field day in Germany called Agritechnia, which is the largest farm show or field day in the world. So I had 2 days working on the stand there, and we went right through. So in that trip, we did France, Denmark, Paris, the States, New Zealand, and Australia. So 15 days, there's 17 flights in 15 days.
Wow.
And right through all the different. So actually did 2 days with Ag Leader at Ames.
Oh, cool.
In their factory. So, 2 days training with them. So I've been to their facility there. And with NORAC, did a day with training with NORAC. And, traveled around through the States a bit and a couple of days in Vegas and came home. So, and in 95, I was lucky enough to be selected to play rugby with an Australian team, New South Wales schoolboy team to go to South Africa. So, been to a few countries around the place.
We can't just buzz right over that. You played rugby?
Yeah. Played rugby for years and years and years.
I was watching that on the Olympics.
I was too.
And the women's. Did you watch the women's?
I've been watching
both
of them.
They're just like bowling balls just rolling each other over. I know. I mean, they're just killing each other out there.
Killing each other.
Very interesting.
So I did notice that Australia is they still make the screen for medal counts in the Olympics that is shown here in America. So I think you're like sixth or seventh in the medal counts, if I'm remembering correctly. So you got a pretty competitive group of athletes over there.
Yeah, we do. I think we're sixth or something, and that's probably mostly from our swimmers. We got pretty good swimmers, but they needed a good kick in the ass after the last one because they didn't do much. So they got their act this time. But yeah, our swimmers, I think we have rowers, have got our cyclists also. We're a big sporting country. We really are. And because we've got pretty good weather, like we're in winter at the moment, it's cold. We don't have the snow in our area. We get down to below zero and we get a frost and stuff. Like at the moment, it is 39 Fahrenheit. So you can convert that. That's back to, I'll have to convert it back. That's probably like 6 or 7 degrees or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our environment and our temperature and our summers, everyone's outside playing sport. So it doesn't matter what age you are, what you're doing, and you can do it all year round. So we'll have the playing during winter, we'll be playing rugby. So rugby league, rugby union, like your soccer, your ball games, netball. And then in summer, it's cricket and stuff like that. So it's, yeah, there's the two different seasons, the winter sports and summer sports. So that's probably why we're getting the medals, because we do it all year round.
Yeah.
I just popped in my head. In Australia, does everybody speak English? Or is it called something different?
English is our number one. Well, it's a language we speak. But there's that many different languages spoken in Australia. That it's not funny. It's a very diverse culture out here. So, but English is our main language.
So that probably makes it a little bit easier to pick up on American TikTok, because I presume you've probably got a pretty split following between Australians and Americans, don't you?
Yeah, I do. It's really funny. I run some analysis on some of them, and some of them you'll get up there and it'll be like 80%. America, 10% Canada, and then 5% Australian. And then a couple of TikToks later, you run the same analysis on a different one, and it's the other way around. But so, yeah, so understanding you blokes is quite easy. It doesn't obviously working across there, I can do it. But some of them, I just look at it and go, what are you saying? And this is English, but... Spit that shit out of your mouth, Mike.
Right. Which I get that. I've already picked up on understanding you better in the 30 minutes that we've chatted than when you first started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's it. Just talking and, yeah, you listen to each other and the way it goes.
So you have sports year-round, crops year-round. I'm interested. I like to hunt and fish. What do you guys hunt? Do you hunt kangaroos?
Yeah. So we do harvest kangaroos, but it's a very regulated industry. We have to have tags to do it. So there's actually a kangaroo meat industry in Australia. So they export kangaroos, kangaroo meat. We don't eat it ourselves much out here, but it's highly regulated. It's like your deer. You've got to have tags. And the government will issue you tags, or the game board will issue you tags depending on how many hectares you've got or how many acres you've got. And they'll tell you how many you're allowed to shoot for that year. So that's kangaroos. Emus, we're not allowed to touch emus at all. And emus, holy shit, there's some of them running around. They do a lot of crop damage. Not that they eat it. Emus will actually, they run through it. And I think everyone's seen an emu. So they run through it, and you can imagine a chickpea crop with its little pods that are just about ready to harvest, or a canola crop that's just about ready to harvest. Shit. And so it's sitting there all dry. They just run through and just kick it everywhere. So that's our coat of arms. That's our two national emblems. And that's because both the kangaroo and the emu cannot go backwards, cannot step backwards. Not a lot of people know that. But so, and then we have our other hunting, obviously for fun. So boars, so wild pigs. Not a lot of deers around where I am, but there is down south in the high country. There's a lot of deer down that way, a lot of red deer. So they'll hunt that down there. But So around here, our hunting around here is wild pigs, cats, dogs, just your general feral stuff all the time.
So, yeah, you need to get some kangaroo on Farm Talk Kitchen.
I was just thinking that. Yeah. We were talking about alligator the other day.
Yeah.
Got to get some kangaroo meat.
Because Uppy's a regular contributor to Farm Talk Kitchen.
That's right.
Yep. Looks
that's
good.
That's pretty cool. I enjoy it. It's a bit of good fun, actually, having a crack with each other. And so it got a bit out of hand there for a while. I mean, holy shit, I think we're all trying to outdo each other. It was costing us a fortune trying to buy the best cut of meat.
I think the alligator took the cake for, I don't know, maybe not taste, but for craziness.
Right.
Wish I could have had a chunk of that.
Yeah, so do I. It looked really good. Yeah. That alligator looked really good.
You guys have you got snakes and lizards that bite you. Weren't you in the hospital last year didn't some big lizard bite you?
No, that was genuine issue. A dog bit me.
A dog bit you?
Yeah, yeah. So I got bitten by a dog. That was actually New Year's Day. And, got bitten on the hand. And it was nothing. It was really nothing. Just a little prick there and there. And it blew up like you could never imagine. And, yeah, I ended up in hospital. So they put me on just oral antibiotics. And then it didn't work. I ended up in hospital for a week. And they, at one stage, they were actually going to fly me out to a because we're only a small town where I live, like 6,000 people, 6,500 people. And we have a really good hospital here, but we don't have all those specialists and the surgery stuff that we need. So they were actually going to fly me over to a big hospital at the coast and cut me open and wash my veins out. But luckily, it got under control. But, yeah, but... We've got some animals out here that you don't want to play with, like brown snakes and tiger snakes and things like that. I think in the 10 deadliest snakes in the world, I think we've got 7 of them.
I'm out.
Here, I was thinking it was like some big lizard that bit him. I don't know where I got that from.
Do lizards even have teeth?
I don't know.
I know where that came from. So that was a goanna. Out here called a goanna. I think I made a comment or said something. Someone asked me and... But an Aussie being an Aussie, I didn't say I was bitten by a dog. I said I got bitten by a goanna. I think I was in
one of your lives and you were in the hospital bed and I said, what the hell bit you? And you said a goanna. And I had to look it up. I'm like, oh, that's a big lizard.
that's Aussie humor for you.
So have you seen, when I think Australia, I think Crocodile Dundee. Have you seen the movie... Thoughts? What's Australia's perception of the movie?
We think it's hilarious. I think everyone's seen the movie. It's a real piss take. It's good. It shows Australia. It shows that part of Australia, which is really beautiful part of Australia up in the north. But we all just sit there and laugh and shake our head. But we do know people. I've got mates who purely are like that. They are that bushy.
Yeah,
that's funny. I didn't want to skate over the Farm Talk Kitchen side of things because I kind of want to know what traditional dishes are in Australia. You know, we've got our steak and our potatoes, and we're known for French fries and fast food. But what's Australia known for on the food side?
Lamb, roast leg of lamb. So that's so we actually have every year when we have our Australia Day, it's pushed to be like a lamb day, so everyone hooks into the lamb chops and things. But if someone said what's our most famous meal in Australia, and would be a roast leg of lamb. So there was actually a campaign around here a few years ago that this girl answers the phone at the radio station saying that she's won a date with Tom Cruise on Sunday. And she goes, oh, sorry, I can't go. Mum's cooking a roast lamb.
That's probably better to go to the roast lamb than with Tom Cruise, really. But yeah. I've never really got into lamb. Like, I've had it before when I was younger, and I can't remember. I do like good I've gotten into Euros.
Right.
And the lamb makes a major difference on how good those are.
That's correct. That's my sister-in-law's favorite meal. So every year for her birthday, when we go on a vacation, we make Euros. But every year I go to the state fair, when I'm down there, I always have to get a lamb burger. That's just one of my little things. I just pop in there, grab one of those real quick down by the horse barn.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah. Compared to state fair food, it's relatively inexpensive. But it's not nothing special either.
Yeah, because it's the sheep association or whatever.
Yep.
The
lamb. Correct. Yep.
What is it?
Just outside the just outside the sheep barn.
Yep.
Yep.
That's where it is.
I always like to go in there and see the biggest ram.
Yep.
See how big their nuts are.
That's what you would go to look for. Exactly. Exactly. So
we call a gyros a kebab.
A kebab.
Yeah, kebab. So we do here in South Australia, they call it the gyros, but up here we call it a kebab, a doner kebab.
Okay, huh. So that would, like a kebab would be what we would call anything with a stick through the meat and vegetables.
Through the middle of it.
Yeah. And we do the same thing. Yeah. So a kebab can be two different things.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a, have you ever ate at Pamel's, Tanner or Dave?
You took me to Pamel's.
Yeah, I've been there, Pamel's Grocery.
Yeah. Yeah. And their gyro there.
Took me there.
Yeah.
Ahmad. Oh.
So good.
Yep.
Yeah, that guy's cool. He's got a good story, too.
He owned the locker up in Stanhope.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Came to California with nothing but the shirt on his back.
Yep.
So
they have some of the best gyros around.
Yeah, very spicy.
They call it tzatziki sauce?
Yep. He's like, you want spicy? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And the biryani rice. Oh, it's very good.
Yep.
We're going to call Kurt. Is that what you're getting ready to do?
I was getting ready to go to the bathroom.
Oh,
but let's take just a short little break here, and then we will see if we can't get another guest on. Well, I feel better.
Yeah, that's good pee.
That's good pee, good beer.
Lost Dave for a little bit.
We lost Dave, but guess what? We replaced him with someone I would argue might be even better.
Yeah, Big Sexy.
Big Sexy, Mr. Kurt Luca. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And as you answered your phone, you said you're standing out there in the middle of cornfield. I don't know why you're sweating. It's such a beautiful day out.
Yeah, it's a nice out.
You know, it really was until the clouds came over. And believe it or not, in the middle of 10-foot-tall corn, you cannot get a breeze.
Oh.
Oh, you'll be feeling good when you have 300 bushel corn.
10-foot-tall. There. Right.
I will tell you what, real quick, I will sweat for 300 bushel corn any day.
Yep. Yep.
But we wanted to buzz you here real quick because you guys are doing some really cool stuff out in Nebraska for the Travis Burkhart Foundation. What do you have cooking?
It's really interesting. This little project started back probably in the May. Everybody knows, for the most part, Mike Burkhart's story with the Travis Burkhart Foundation. You know, granted, TikTok's been great for us, right? Even including Nebraska, we've met so many people throughout the state, and it's just been a fun group. So Nebraska flying farmer Tim Krause called me one day, and he goes, hey, he says, what do you think about doing something similar in Nebraska? You know, like another get-together and do a benefit. I'm like, okay, tell me the benefit. What do you got going on? What are you thinking? He goes, what if we do a golf tournament and the proceeds go to the TBF, Travis Burkhart Foundation? I'm like, that's awesome. I said, when do we want to do this? Well, do you think we can do it yet this summer? I'm like, oh, we're going to need help.
Yep.
So I reached out to a few people. I reached out to Manure Mafia, Matt Geiser. I reached out to the Greasy Ranch Hand, Aaron Vota, and along with me and Tim Krause, and then Noah Hubbard, a Korean corn farmer, he got on board too. So there's five of us working on this. And what we're doing is we want to create similar to what Mike did for the state of Nebraska. You know, just helping hands out there, helping people that we can give benefit to when insurance runs out, and hopefully grow our organization even a little farther than that. We haven't gotten our 501c status yet. We are in the process of getting it, but that's going to take a little time. But we did want to hold a event that we can help fund our organization a little bit and give all the proceeds back to the Travis Burkhart Foundation, because Mike and his family have been with us every step of the way through this, helping us organize our organization. So we want to give back to him as much as we can.
Awesome. When is this happening?
It's going to happen August 28th, Saturday, August 28th, Jackrabbit Run Golf Course, Grand Island, Nebraska.
Nice.
So how do we go get signed up for that? Or are you full yet?
Yes. No, there's still room to sign up. And, of course, we'll never quit taking sponsors, because every dollar that we make or earn off of this, or is given, donated, however you want to say it, is going to go back to somebody in need. There is no corporate anything to deal with. So that's the nice thing about it. People can go sign up, register, and pay online at nefarmtalk.com.
Nice. So that's Nebraska Farm Talk, but it's just the NE, the yep. abbreviation for Nebraska.
Yep.
Correct.
And you're not full on teams, and you'll never quit taking sponsors.
Correct, correct. I think right now, visiting with the group, we try to have a Zoom meeting every other week. This now will probably start going every week to keep everybody on task. And even though we have our text group, just to reach, you know, it's nice to see faces. Everything's online. We got our website up and functional August 1st. We had some tweaks with it. And if there is a problem with somebody registering or sponsoring, we just ask them to reach out to one of us.
Right.
A lot of us are doing daily videos or promo videos along the way. So, and there's a phone number, contact information is Matt. So anybody has a problem signing up, give one of us a call. We'll gladly help. But everything should be online and ready to go for everybody.
Awesome. So that's where you got to go. Yeah. NEFarmTalk.com for this golf outing on August 28th out in Grand Island. So
we're going to try to do a little social Friday night at Kincaid's Brewery in Grand Island. Kind of a get-together for people that are coming in early. Saturday, we'll have a shotgun start at 9 o'clock out of the golf course. Play 18 holes, four-person scramble. At the end of that, we will have another social outing for everybody. We can hang out there till 11 o'clock. And the best thing about this, this was accidental, but it worked out. The Nebraska State Fair is also going on.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, and that's just across town. So people want to come out with their families and, you know, say the kids, and wife and kids don't want to stay there all day or vice versa. Nebraska State Fair is just on the other side of town. And it's a cheap entertainment, great entertainment. Nebraska State Fair is all basically new in the last 5 years, 6 years.
That's pretty cool. And the Farm for Profit podcast will be there as well.
Yep.
Nice. Yes, I am excited to see you guys. So far from what I've heard, we've got a lot of people attending, sponsors, golfers, and even people that are just coming to socialize, right?
Nice.
Yeah. We're going to have a raffle. We're going to have a raffle that day. There'll be prizes for everybody that comes. We are doing a $15,000 hole-in-one chance.
Ooh.
We will have food, alcohol throughout the day. It's going to be a great get-together for a great benefit.
Perfect. Well, Kurt, I'm glad that you were able to jump on the phone with us here. We're going to run back into our conversation with Uppy, but don't forget, listeners, to go to nefarmtalk.com to get your information. If you don't golf, that's fine. This would be in the Midwest, probably pre-harvest. Yep. Be a last hurrah. Just go out, come out and see us. Have a good time.
Even if you can't make it, you know, sponsor. I mean, I think Go to the website and sponsor right there. Yep. Get some money for the Travis Burkhart Foundation. It's a great cause.
Yep. So. Awesome. Well,
You bet.
Thanks for your time,
Thank
Kurt.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. You bet.
All right, take care.
We'll see ya.
Uppy, you going to come to that? You going to make it across?
Come on.
Yeah, it's going to be go across in 18 holes of golf and then 2 weeks hotel quarantine. Sounds like a fucking great club.
Yeah.
So do you, I assume Australia has golf courses too, don't they?
We do, yeah. Actually, the golf course is right across the road from my office here. And it's one of the prettiest, nicest country golf courses you'll ever come across. And, yeah, no, we're the same. I only play charity days, those scrambles, four-ball Ambrose days. I just don't have the patience to go and chase a little golf ball around the field all day.
Right. Yeah, same here. Yeah, it's fun for a social event and best ball. Tanner and I played in one last weekend. That was kind of fun.
And we did better than I thought we would.
It was really a two-man.
It was truly a two-man, yeah.
Well, one and a half. You were the full man and I was half.
That's pretty funny. So... everybody's got a podcast here, Uppy. I saw that you might be looking at getting started on a podcast.
Yep. And just looking on that at the moment, I've actually been talking to Tony about what gear he's got. And it's some little 13-year-old sent me a direct message on TikTok saying that his school got they do podcasts at school, and this is what they've got, the microphone that they use and the brand and everything. I mean, that's fantastic. This little kid reached out. So anyway, so I've had a look at that. Yeah, we're setting it up. I've spoken to a couple of people who are keen to do it. It'll be a bit of a serious and not serious one. So, yeah, and like I said to Tony, it could be straightforward farming Australia.
Straightforward.
That'd be good.
So, yeah, and that's what it'll be like. We'll people have sent me messages and things and asked that. So we'll talk to dealers, to like machinery dealer principals, farmers, manufacturers, and at the same time we'll also talk about machinery and about gear and what we like and what we don't like. So anyway, we're just setting that up at the moment, just getting that organized and trying to find the right gear.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. I'd listen for sure. If you need anything, reach out to Tanner or Dave. They have the experience with it.
Yeah, so it's just going to be a like a straight up down to earth, no bullshit farming, talk about ag and just talk about Australia in particular. Like it's like literally kangaroos. Like we were talking about kangaroos earlier on. Yeah, we do ride them in school. We taught to ride them in year four. And yeah, so we just tether them to the front fence. Just stuff like that.
I tell you what, I'd probably be one of your first listeners.
Yeah, for sure.
I get a kick so much out of your TikToks, let alone what life is really like over there in Australia tied to agriculture.
So it could get a bit wild. We start drinking a few stubbies and getting into it. Like, yeah, so one of the blokes I've been talking to about jumping on and doing a bit of a – there's a few people have tried it. There is a couple of ag podcasts in Australia. They're pretty fucking boring to tell you that – oh, sorry.
You're fine.
Yeah, and it'll be not all just talk ag. Like we're going to talk dirt bikes. We're going to talk shooting, camping, different parts – Just a general chat, like sit down, have a stubby, have a rum, and just have a general chat. Like I said, sort of like you blokes, every second episode or something like that. We'll work it all out.
Yep.
So a stubby, that's a beer, correct?
Yeah, so a stubby is a glass bottle. So, yeah, so a beer bottle in glass, and then we have cans also. So it's a can or a stubby.
Okay. And then you just said a rum. Can a rum be any cocktail made without rum or any liquor, or is that just rum in general?
Rum's rum.
Okay.
Rum's
rum. And then you'll have your bourbons and your whiskeys and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, rum's rum.
What is the beer of choice for you?
Foster's.
Australian for beer.
Is it?
I've never had Foster's in my life. Like fair dinkum, you wouldn't feed it to your worst enemy. So it swaps and changes. 4X Gold has had the market here in Australia for a long time. Now we're seeing this new beer, well, it's been around for a few years now, called Great Northern. And I'm not sure if anyone's a real golfer or follows golf, but we had a legendary golfer here called Greg Norman. And so we've nicknamed Great Northern Greg Norman. It's an Aussie beer. Nicknamed that after a legend Aussie golfer. So it's really taken the market now in Australia. That would be the popular one. I don't actually drink beer. I'm gluten intolerant, so I don't. That's why I've been asking so many questions about the corn and the bush and stuff. So I actually have a beer made from rice now, Australian rice, which is pretty good. So I've been 13 years without drinking beer, just purely rum. But yeah, so Greg Norman would be our number one beer in Australia at the moment.
So you can have sorghum beer as well, or Milo.
Yep.
If you're gluten tolerant. I've had some of that. It's okay. Greg Norman was my favorite golfer growing up. Actually have
you're full of
the
crap.
Shark. I'm telling you, I have a Greg Norman hat. He used to wear the white,
yes.
The white cowboy hat. Heck yeah, he's my favorite golfer growing up. If I had a favorite golfer.
If you had it, well, you apparently did.
Apparently you did.
My favorite golfer now is John Daly, just because, you know, why?
There's some great, and I think you blokes used it the other day, some great sounds on TikTok with the John Daly.
yes. And now we're coming up to the eighth tee, the first hole.
It's strung out all night.
Yeah.
So we just got done talking about stubbies. What, you know, you mentioned, what are some of the comparisons? So we've got a combine and you call it a header?
Yeah, a header. I started doing a TikTok on this the other day to just have a real crack at you blokes, so have a bit of fun, because obviously, well, the big one to butt hurt most people, a chaser bin.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. So calling. So we what your grain cart, bunk out, buggy, wagon, whatever you call it. We call it the chaser bin. So a combine. We're starting to call them combines out here in Australia now, but traditionally we just call the whole thing a header, as where what you call a header is we call it the front.
Right.
So I suppose the biggies you've got are hectares and acres, kilometres, miles, like all that, because we're smart people, so we're in metric. but, yeah, so there's some of them are it's really funny listening to the different ones that we talk about. Like we're saying, gas station, servo, things like that.
So what about meal times? Like we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What do you call your meals?
So we're the same, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There's a big blow up about whether the night meal, which I know sometimes you call it supper in Canada. When I was working in Canada, it was supper. So the night meal here, whether it's dinner or tea, is debatable. Growing up as a kid, it was always tea. Mum was like, what do you want for tea? Or Mum, what's for tea? Now it's dinner, more that way. So that's something that's changed in Australia over time itself. But and then also we have smoker, morning and afternoon smoker.
A what?
A break, smoke break.
Yeah, so a cup of tea and a smoke, have a durry.
Oh. Yeah.
Burn a dart.
Yeah. The other one that I caught was, what do you call a fence?
A fence.
A fence. So you called it a stringer post?
Strainer post. So, yeah, the big post at the end of the fence that you pull up hard the wire on, we call that a strainer post. So we strain the fence against that
strain
post.
Strain it. A strainer post. So we just call it a corner post. Or what else would you guys call it?
Corner post.
Yeah. Corner post, H bracket.
Yep.
And we have a bit of fun backwards and forwards with a few people. Like Milo, we call it sorghum, the different sorts of crop. Oh, the other night, Chester, triticale, we call it. And I think he's triticale or something like that.
Triticale.
It's a bit of fun. It's good.
That is fun.
So the last thing that I had that I picked up out of your TikToks was a TikTok or two that you did about call your mate. Mm-hmm. With Big Farmer Andy.
So Call Your Mate is actually a hashtag that was started by another TikToker, and his handle is Eyes of Mine Life. So he actually grew up about 3 hours just north of here and now. So he's a boilermaker, like fabricator, contracting the mine. So he started this whole Call Your Mate. Suicide in agriculture is a big thing in Australia. And we're trying to help and trying to stop. So and only there was a TikTok I did a couple of weeks ago where a beautiful 19-year-old girl took her own life. So we're doing what's called Hunt the Black Dog charity event, which we've had to postpone because of COVID. So Call Your Mate was actually started by Eyes of Mine Life, and he sells stickers and things like that to raise money for mental health. So Big Farmer Andy is growing a mullet. So there's a mullet for mental health at the moment, which is running. So Matt's also doing it, and you can go and donate to these boys. I was on Andy's live last night. He's just hit the $10,000 mark, or just over it, which is what he was aiming for. Matt's at about $4,000. Grow a mullet to raise money for mental health. So, and that's one of the hashtags is, like I said, that Eyes of Mind Life started is Call Your Mate. And I've actually bringing that across to, well, I have brought it across to Twitter. Because it's a big thing out here. It's just pick up the phone and ring a mate. It could be that call that saves someone's life.
And I would agree. I saw that and I immediately went to her page, and I think I had followed her like 3 weeks before that. And it's just like, oh, just freaking hit me. Like just such talent. And she looked perfect. You know, looked great. You know, doing what she was doing. And it was just, it's terrible. And we have an issue here too.
Yeah, it's not just an Australian thing.
We are more percentage than, and this is not downfalling, but than military suicide. And that gets talked about all the time.
Ooh, really? I never would have guessed that.
And farmer suicide by percentage is above that. And it's just crazy. And we've actually had it here
affect us here in our own community. So it's just...
I got a moment here. I obviously have never had any suicidal thoughts myself, thankfully, but I got pretty low on Monday. Like it was hard preparing. This is one of those weeks for me that just kind of snowballed. There were some things at work. There were some things with family. We had a podcast guest cancel, obviously out of their control. Just things snowballed really quick. And I had a very I'm not going to call it a low moment because that's not accurate, but a very humbling moment to realize the support that I have around me, you guys rallying with ideas, with connections, you know, being able to put this together, my wife, the other coworkers that are around me to help lift me up. And I was by nowhere at all any close to what I consider serious, but that it just was having these conversations. You know, we talked with Hank Wade, the exposure that we've had through this podcast and through our network that it's a big deal. And I don't think without that support around you, so that call your mate is huge because that's what I had. I had people to talk to, and sometimes that's really just what people need.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just lonely if you don't.
Right. Right.
And agriculture, you can see as a farmer, you know, if you have a banking job, whatever, I mean, I know you got a bunch of other things going on, but if you have a 9-to-5, that's your job.
Right.
But if you're a farmer, I mean, so many things are out of your hands.
Absolutely.
That you put your whole life into.
Right.
And it could be ripped away by a flood or, you know, markets or something like that. And it's so emotional. And if you get caught on the wrong side of it, it gets dark. Yeah, that's a good hashtag. I'm glad we're bringing some light to it. Call your mate.
It's a really good cause. So, we've got a few things in the pipeline here we're trying to work out, trying to get going, just more. Like, out of that, we would love to purely just have someone in a vehicle, if we can get back in enough funding, have a vehicle who can just drive around, pull up, and say good day. Yeah. So, someone's in the paddock loading a spray rig, just pull up and say good day. How you going? What's happening?
Right.
Yep. That'd be good.
So, hey, farmers around here go to coffee. Do you guys go to coffee? All our farmers go to coffee in the morning and talk about farming.
It's getting bigger. Like, bloody coffee. We're turning into the coffee snobs out here. It's like where we used to have an instant cup of coffee here in the shop and boil the kettle or the jug. Now it's like, oh, come on, let's go down the street and have a coffee. Oh, what do you want? I'll have a chai latte, half strength, no soy.
Mocha choca, vanilla latte, yeah.
Yeah, let's go and have a coffee. And mostly Saturday. So what's today, Thursday? So Saturday we'll all catch up at the rugby and have a beer. But go and have a coffee. It's a big thing.
Oh. I think it's all the old guys, isn't it? Mostly.
I don't know. I went this morning. There was two people under 40.
Really?
Yeah. A couple of 50s and a bunch of 60s and 70s.
Yeah. I just always thought about that, and I'm like, I'm trying to get my dang chores done at that time so I can go do the regular stuff that everyone else gets to do. The row crop, I'm trying to chore animals, you know. And
my wife just hit me with the realization that my girls are growing up too fast. So when school starts this year, I no longer have to do daycare drop-off because they both get picked up by the bus. So instead of my 30-minute routine for dropping the girls off, maybe I should be going to coffee.
Yeah, you should. I mean, you're the banker. They'd probably just switch to a different place.
I was going to say, nobody's going
to... They'd probably just switch to a different coffee shop. You'd have to...
Damn banker.
Watch for where their trucks go.
That's true. I'll go out to the Come and Go, and then they'll move into Casey's, and then they'll switch over to Double Dipped just to elude the banker.
That's another thing they say differently. Don't you guys say trucks differently over there?
Yeah, so trucks. So what you're talking about, a truck or a pickup, is we call them a ute.
Ute.
A ute.
Yeah, so a UTE. But now, I think everyone's starting to. We get a lot more of the American pickups now, so people are calling them pickups and trucks. But we just call them utes.
So what about a Sheila?
A Sheila, a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real Aussie thing, calling a woman a Sheila. you've got to be pretty careful who you call a Sheila these days, because most of them are probably punching the mouth.
When you go to the Calgary Stampede, where the international that his friend went to and I went to, there's something in the water in Canada. So normally at an auction contest, we're the most people with cowboy hats, but The Calgary Stampede, there's more cowboy hats than you've ever seen. You're the odd man out if you don't have a cowboy hat on. And they have hatting ceremonies.
Look at that.
There it is. Yeah. Cowboy hat.
Yeah.
That's an Akubra.
An Akubra.
An Akubra.
Made out of rabbit skin.
Huh.
Oh.
Rabbit skin. So is it like soft? Looks soft.
Yeah, it is. There's another one up there too. That's my town one, and that's my work one.
I love
it. I need to get one of those. Where can I buy one of those?
An Akubra?
Oh, shit. You should be able to buy them in the States anyway.
Yeah.
Chupacabra?
Tilly. I think Tilly's the brand.
Tilly?
Yeah.
Oh, it's with a K. Akubra with a K.
Oh.
Not a C, because that's what I put down.
But the first one on Google search is Australian.
Australian made, family owned. Akubra hats. Felt is made in Kempsey, NSW, Australia.
Yep, so New South Wales. So that's about 6 hours east of me.
Cool. Rabbits.
Not a rabbit.
Cool.
Beaver in the States, rabbits in Australia.
That's in Australia.
Nice.
That's why they built the Great Wall of China, because of the rabbit plague. They tried to stop the rabbit plague from crossing right across China.
What?
There's rabbit plague?
We have an ad out here. So we had a rabbit plague out here. Obviously, everyone's heard of that. And there's an ad out here where a young kid's doing his homework, his school homework, and he says to his dad, "Why'd they build the Great Wall of China?" And he goes, "To keep the rabbits out, son."
Keep the rabbits out.
I don't know whether to believe you or not. So we always ask all of our guests up, Ian, I know you've listened before. Maybe it's different in Australia, but what do you think the most successful people all have in common?
Oh, wow. I think they're go-getters. I've never seen anyone sit on their hands and be successful. Don't sit at home. Don't think you're going to sit at home and comes to you. I hear people say that I want to find something and make $1 million where I don't have to work. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Unless you're a drug dealer, then you'll end up in jail. So, but just go out and get it. Find what you want to do and go after it.
Well, I think you're spot on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's any different between Australia and the United States.
Yeah, it's not going to fall on your lap.
No. Got to go do it.
Yep. Go do it. Go through the pain. And like was saying there before about mental health, like you'll have your ups and downs while you're doing it. But, find out what you want to do and chase your dream.
Thomas Edison, opportunity is missed by most because it's dressed in coveralls and looks like hard work.
Mm. Wow. You're just Mr. Philosophical today. So, Uppy, how do people find you? Because, you're across a couple of different social media platforms.
Too many. I'm actually going to start deleting some. So on TikTok, I'm Uppy0012. Same on Instagram. And then on Twitter, it's just at Andrew Uphill. So I try and keep Twitter really as my professional platform. Because that's where the farmers are that I interact with every day. I've actually got a farmer going to pull up here in a truck shortly to load a spray rig who he found me on Twitter. So
cool.
On Twitter, Andrew Uphill. But yeah, my other platforms are all Uppy0012.
Yeah. I'm cutting back too. I deleted Snapchat. That's what I did.
You deleted Snapchat? I think they kicked you off Snapchat.
They deleted me. Yep.
This was fun. This was fun going over to Australia. I'm glad that you woke up early to hang out with us.
Yes,
Uppy.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah. No drama, mate. Any time. I had an absolute cracker doing this. I really enjoyed it.
And if you want any help getting yours going off the ground, give us a ring.
Yeah.
Will do for sure.
All right, Corey, why don't you send us out?
Crack a back pocket. Brewing beer. You deserve it.
Intro music recorded by Tyler Richton and the High Bank Boys. Commentary added by Elena Montemagni. And credit to bensound.com for music.
I think he specifically said, look at the bumper on that, Sheila.
I think I just found the intro for the podcast.
Look at the bumper on that Sheila.
The front bumper or the rear bumper?
Is it a frunk or a trunk?
Frunk or trunk?
We've got a receptionist named Sheila, so I don't know if that's going to go over very well for me.